Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of antacids found under the gastrointestinal section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 50-year-old man presents to his primary care physician for his annual examination. He has a history of hypertension managed with lifestyle modifications, but is otherwise healthy and not taking any medications. He reports that his only concern today is that he develops some acid reflux after eating heavy or spicy foods. This occurs especially after he lies down after a big meal. He is instructed to use an over-the-counter antacid, such as calcium carbonate, as needed. Let's continue with an introduction to antacids. Specific drugs include aluminum hydroxide, calcium carbonate, and magnesium hydroxide. Their mechanism of action is that they neutralize acid in the stomach and delay gastric emptying. Now let's discuss these antacids in more detail. For aluminum hydroxide, it also acts as a phosphate binder. Clinically, it is used for acid reflux and peptic ulcer disease, as well as hyperphosphatemia. Adverse effects include constipation and decreased phosphate, which may cause muscle weakness and osteodystrophy. Calcium carbonate also acts as a phosphate binder. It is used for acid reflux and peptic ulcer disease, as well as calcium supplementation. Adverse effects include milk alkali syndrome. Remember that this is caused by increase in calcium in severe cases, which can cause metastatic calcification and renal failure. It can also chelate and decrease the efficacy of some drugs, particularly tetracyclines. Magnesium hydroxide also promotes osmotic retention of fluid and induces diarrhea. Clinically, it is used for acid reflux, peptic ulcer disease, and constipation. Adverse effects include diarrhea, hypotension, and cardiac arrest. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to antacids, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 66-year-old man presents to the office complaining of abdominal pain. He reports that the pain is mid-epigastric and gnawing. It worsens after meals, but improves somewhat with antacids. The patient's medical history is significant for hypertension, hyperlipidemia, and gout. He takes aspirin, lisinopril, atorvastatin, and allopurinol. He uses ibuprofen during acute gout attacks and takes over-the-counter multivitamins. He also started drinking ginkgo tea once a week after his wife saw a news story on its potential benefits. The patient has a glass of whiskey after work two nights a week, but denies tobacco or illicit drug use. An upper endoscopy is performed that reveals a gastric ulcer. A urease breath test is positive for Helicobacter pylori. The patient is prescribed bismuth subsalicylate, omeprazole, metronidazole, and tetracycline for 2 weeks. At follow-up, the patient continues to complain of abdominal pain. He has taken all of his medications as prescribed, along with 10 to 12 tablets of antacids a day. He denies hematemesis, hematochezia, or melena. Biopsy from the previous upper endoscopy was negative for malignancy. A repeat urease breath test is positive. Which of the following is the most likely cause for the patient's poor treatment response? And the answer choices are choice 1, alcohol use, choice 2, allopurinol, choice 3, antacid use, choice 4, ginkgo tea, or choice 5, ibuprofen. The best answer to this question is choice 3, antacid use. The patient is presenting with an H. pylori-induced peptic ulcer that is being treated with quadruple therapy, including the antibiotic tetracycline. The patient is also taking over 10 antacids a day, which reduces the absorption of tetracycline, making it much less effective. The goals of antacids is to increase gastric pH. This may alter the absorption of certain medications taken concomitantly. Antacids that contain calcium carbonate can cause chelation of drugs such as tetracycline, reducing absorption and efficacy. It is suggested that milk, dairy-containing products, antacids, and iron salts are avoided while taking tetracycline. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Alcohol can cause a disulfiram-like reaction with metronidazole, but is not known to decrease its efficacy. Decreased efficacy of tetracycline with alcohol has been reported, but the patient is having one drink only two nights a week. his high dose of antacids is more likely causing his poor treatment response. Choice 2. Allopurinol does not have a known drug interaction effect with tetracycline. It may affect other medications such as azathioprine, cyclosporine, ampicillin, amoxicillin, warfarin, and thiazide diuretics. Choice 4. Ginkgo is an herbal supplement that has risks of drug interactions with antiplatelets and anticoagulants. While there may be a risk of drug interaction with tetracycline, the patient is only having one tea a week, which is unlikely the cause of his poor treatment response. Choice 5. Ibuprofen is an NSAID that can cause peptic ulcer disease in chronic users. However, it does not have a known drug interaction effect with either of the antibiotics. Finally, a bullet summary. Antacids can cause decreased absorption of antibiotics such as tetracycline. That's all for this review about antacids. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.